Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Happy Saturday and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Saturday, June 27th, 2020, and we are broadcasting live from the sort of wet city of Atlanta. This evening we will continue our Be Encouraged series. In fact, we will be discussing race relations. So please stay tuned. Well, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always like to begin by answering that question. And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. And then it later came to mean a prescribed routine of especially of court behavior. Who we have to thank is Charles I and II of England, because what they did is they actually copied these rules from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And I like to say kudos to Charles I and II. Well, I hope everyone is staying safe and everyone is well. Thank you for joining us for this special Saturday episode of What is Etiquette Anyway? Every few shows since we've been in the Be Encouraged series, this is show number 27 in this series. So we started several months ago, but what I like to do every few shows is just simply to talk a little bit about why we're actually doing the Be Encouraged series. And of course, what happened is with this particular series, back, I guess it maybe February, I believe it was, when we first began talking about the coronavirus pandemic. I just happened to notice, you know, some people while I was in the store and just kind of looked at, observed how a lot of people were interacting with each other. And it was just, you know, with so much paranoia. Of course, this was so new and no one knew what to expect. And so that's when the Lord kind of told me, what can you do? And that's really where the Be Encouraged series came from, especially after speaking to the one man that was in the supermarket there and, you know, trying to tell him to be encouraged, and he wanted to know how I could be encouraged with all of this that was going on. So he wasn't real happy about that. But anyway, that's how this series was actually born. And of course, with all the other things that we are facing, especially as a nation, we continue this series. Okay, and of course, and I did vow to continue, you know, especially at a critical time as this, we need to all be encouraged. I believe. And, of course, I always like to give my definition of encourage, and that is to take a little bit of your courage and give it to someone else who needs it. So that's my particular definition of encourage. And I hope that that's what the show is able to do. And, of course, we know that over the past few months, we've been faced with so much, oh, gosh, from the coronavirus, as I mentioned, to racial injustice. And, boy, I know it's been taking a toll, you know, on people. I know myself, I've had to catch myself and stop myself sometimes from watching so many of the reports and listening to the reports. And it is just, I'm sure if you've been looking at any news or hearing anything or having conversations with people that you know, it's a lot going on. So I want to bring my special co-host. He is no stranger to our show. His name is Pastor Akeem. In fact, he is a senior pastor of Servant Leader Church and also the author of Trapped Inside Myself. And again, his name is Pastor Akeem Woodard. Pastor Akeem, how are you?
I'm doing great. This is Donna. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy Saturday to you.
Oh, great, great. I don't know if it's kind of hard to hear you at first.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes,
this any better?
Your phone was going in and out. I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, wonderful. I certainly don't want that. And I can hear you great, so that's great as well. Well, of course, you know, we have been dealing with a lot here over the past few months. And just over, I guess, the past month or so, we've just been hearing the question or we've been hearing the statement, Black Lives Matter. And so, of course, and I question our listeners, you know, do Black Lives Matter to you? And it's just so much that's going on regarding racial injustice. And the only people that don't know anything about that at this moment are the people who have obviously had their head in the sand or somewhere, because I think at this point everybody should know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, the good thing is a lot of history that people have not been aware of, a lot of hidden racism that we have experienced for so many years and kind of like looked over or didn't even recognize it, that we have followed a certain system or a certain pattern that has its roots in racism.
Absolutely.
It's as though people were just laughing. You know, like when Juneteenth comes, we have so many, June 19th comes, we have so many people saying, what is that? Juneteenth, what is that? We don't even know what it is. And it's as if it just started.
Right, but you know what? I noticed is Juneteenth. I've been aware of Juneteenth, but this is the first year I've ever seen anything nationally done regarding Juneteenth, which was actually on ABC. I mean, you could have just slapped me over with a feather, you know, because I was really shocked that there was actually a special on. So, yeah, talk about that for a minute.
We have there's so many. You broke up right then, but I know there's so many different events. There was a Black Wall Street that was burned down. There was so many things that the African American had that had been like just kind of like wiped off.
Mm-hmm.
And now the younger generation and the people being educated. I preached about this once. And, the words that our brother said when he said, "I can't breathe," you know, he was speaking not just for himself but for every African American in this world. Because that's been the state that I don't care where you're at right now. It's not every African American has been affected by racism in some type of way. They may have known it or not known, but you've been affected by some type of way. So when he said, "I can't breathe," he really wasn't just talking about him. And he was talking about him. But he was talking about all of us. Because all of us, in a way, we really haven't been breathing. Just really breathing. We've just been existing. Or just making it. We even say it to each other. "What's going on, man? I'm making it. Just trying to get back." it's the language that we use amongst each other. So this is show. I hope people come on board and listen, so we can get a let's not tackle this, but let's unfold this. It is a hurting statement. It's time to speak about those things that are uncomfortable. And a lot of times, and the African American don't want to speak about things because the white friends and European friends, whatever they say, they make them feel uncomfortable. But the truth is sometimes always uncomfortable to talk about.
Absolutely.
Talk about.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, Pastor. I did not get the phone number out because I certainly would like for people to call in. We want to know what you're thinking, what you've experienced. And the number is 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894. Also, you can shoot us an email if you prefer to do that. And you can send that to etiquetteladiesplural@gmail.com, etiquetteladies@gmail.com, or missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Okay, we certainly would like to hear from you. But go right ahead, Pastor. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And one of the things that you hear a lot of people saying, you know, especially out of the church world, they'll say, well, I don't see color. But God sees color, so why won't you see color? No, God sees color because he created it, so why won't you see color? So, to me, I think that's just a cop-out. People, well, you know, I don't see color. Yes, you do, because if you don't see color, you don't see me, because I'm a color. You don't see me. So, oh, now they see this. No, I need you to see me, that I'm a different hue than you. See me. Don't say, I don't see color. I don't see color, because God sees color. He doesn't judge by color, but he sees the color. See, I don't see that's a cop-out, because you do see color. Don't say you don't.
Right.
You see the grass is green. You see the sky is blue. You see your car that you like is either red or purple or candy paint. You see the color. So don't tell me when you look at me, you don't see no color. That's a statement that doesn't even make any sense. It's a cop-out. So we have to look at, let's go back and look at the steps we made and the steps we're going to take right now. And we're people that's protested, people that are waking up, people are changing legislators. But we also got this is a system that's been put in place many years ago. Everybody just fell in line with the system. They didn't create anything new. Even in our prison system, there was nothing created new. Before long, there was no such thing as even African American people working in the prisons right here in the state of Georgia. Right here in the state of Georgia. And this wasn't a long, very long time ago. It wasn't a very long time ago. We have a system now that has our children in DeKalb County. In DeKalb County, 98% of the young men that are tried as adults are African American. 98%. And some of them are charged as adults at the age of 13, 14, and 15 for nonviolent crimes. This is a system put in place that we have to say no more. No more. Judges, no more. And I don't want to, you know, I don't, and I'm going to say this, they can shoot me the hate mail, whatever. But let us not take our eyes off the prize and think that it's all about the president or the president's coming or the president to be reelected, because it's not really about them. Because if it was really about them, it would have changed with Obama, but it didn't change. It didn't change. It's suffering from it. Still was here. Didn't go nowhere. Didn't go anywhere. Don't let us get our hopes on me build up and push and be tricked into saying, okay, we'll vote somebody else in, and all of a sudden racism is going to go away.
Right.
We're gonna be in a rise because we went to the polls and we voted someone else in. Now it has gone. No, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. Because when we begin to pull back the sheets and look at the crack laws that decimated the African American community, we even see new presidents coming out speaking about the crack law. It's statements.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support. I'm not saying for this or for that. I'm not trying to get anybody political views. All I'm saying is we cannot have our votes wholesale anymore. We have a powerful vote. and people need to come to say, this is the world, and then we hold their feet to the fire. Because it is no more just you can just write a check for us or write us off and tell us lies, and then 4 years after that, you ain't done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's old. This that brother said, I can't breathe. And God gave us all life. And the breath that that man squeezed out of that young man has breathed life into God's children all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, you even have Cornel West saying, I got to reset. I have to reset. He said his fire has been kindled again. And it's not, and don't let anybody, I tell our African-American brothers and our sisters, don't let anybody tell you, oh, it's hatred. Y'all teaching, why y'all hatred is mad? Because let's get this to some great understanding. And everybody online need to take heed to this. We went through a degree of slavery, a beating, bruised, plundered, and laughed at. People will go to church on Sunday and would go to a hanging that evening. With, not just with themselves, but with their children.
Mm-hmm.
As almost as if it was an event. We went through all that of beating and atrocities and shipped away and moved around. And we are still saying what? We just want justice and respect. We have not turned ourselves around to do unto them what was done unto us. We have showed this nation what real love is all about. That we can rise above all that, but we're not going to turn into the oppressors that done unto us so we can do it back at them, because that will only keep the cycle going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are having a very thought-provoking discussion surrounding race relations. And the voice that you hear is Pastor Akeem Woodard, and he is certainly peeling back some of the layers on what the African-American race has been going through and reminding you that this, just because we're hearing this all in the news right now, this did not just begin. So we've been going through this for years and years. And, again, you can certainly join the conversation at 516-418-5894. Or you can send us an email, etiquetteladies@gmail.com or missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com as well. I want to go ahead and start picking up some of our callers, Pastor, and so they can have an opportunity to join in the conversation. And you guys, we just want to know what's on your heart, what's on your mind right now. If you've gone through anything, you've experienced anything you want to share with us, that's fine. If you want to give your name, you can. If you want to remain anonymous, that's perfectly okay as well. So we're going to go to extension 3382. Hello, extension 3382. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi there. Hi, Ken, now. How are you?
Good, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
My name is Anthony. I'm calling from Indianapolis. I called for Greek Pastor Woodard. Thank you all for putting on this show. It's cathartic to have the opportunity to listen, but also to share. And I live in Indianapolis. I'm 56 years old, black male. And what I want to say, first of all, is it is a blessing when we look at social media and the Internet and the technology that we have today. You know, so often we hear of maybe some people or years ago would say that Internet is a lot of trouble or they speak badly of it. But what I'm going to say about the Internet and also the cell phones is that we look at the way the world has changed and the events that are going on just in the past month, a little over a month, with the killing of Brother Floyd. Yeah. And, you know, it was all because we witnessed that. I mean, millions of people know that this happens, but when you have to witness it, when you witness that murder, you know, it's similar to what they said when we were fighting that war in Iraq, and they had on the internet, they're talking about the beheading folks. But when you see something mm-hmm. horrific, it's someone being murdered, okay, so you see this brother being killed who did not resist, who did not fight. He didn't get his day in court. But see, we get to witness now what many blacks have said for years of how we're treated. And I'm also moved by the number of white brothers and sisters that witness and say, this is wrong. And you know, we're not out there on our own just marching.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're dismissed. But, you know, I've been kind of meditating on, and you watch the news, and I said, this movement that's taking place in the United States because of the Floyd killing, it is bigger than what Martin Luther King, you know, I mean, this movement of people. And it may have even been bigger than what was happening at the time of Christ. And I'm not belittling or dismissing it, but I'm saying that because of the technology, the world is watching. The world is witness to what's going on, happening. And so, you know, everybody has a cell phone. There's a camera on every business, you know, so when something happens, you know, you can't deny it. You know, oftentimes the police would tell their side of the story and say, well, this is what happened. He tried to get my gun. There was a brother in South Carolina. He tried to go for my gun, and somebody was recording him. When they looked at the tape, they said, well, no, he wasn't going for your gun. He shot him in the back. But my point is just everybody is a journalist. There are millions of phones that you can hit a double click on your start button, and you're recording, and you can broadcast to the world. So my point is, again, that it's a blessing that we have this technology to be a witness, you know, in our testimony of what's taking place. And regardless of what the powers that be, whether it's the president or different ones that try to deny things, it's like we're watching. We hear it. We're watching. And so, I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to shut up here. But also with the Internet, I mean, just this week, too, there was another situation with a young fellow in Colorado by the name of Elijah McClain. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but if you Google him or if you ask someone about it, what happened was there's another fella, 23 or 27 years old. He's walking down the street coming from the store, and someone called in and said, hey, there's a suspicious-looking guy walking around waving his arms, and he has a mask on. It's at nighttime, but he was alone by himself. So three police officers respond, and what ends up happening is even the caller said, well, there's no crime has been committed. You know, basically said, hey, it just think maybe somebody should check it out. And, again, you can Google it, but basically this young gentleman, they detained him. He said he just wanted to be left alone, and they handcuffed him and wrestled him down. And then they, again, similar situation where they're on top of him, and then they have, after they have him handcuffed, they have a medic give him ketamine, which, you know, it's a tranquilizer. And in the end result, the fella died, similar to the George Floyd. This happened maybe back in February or March, but again, there's another big movement behind that. But it's so often, you know, we see the police video cameras that, you know, but my point is this had been hidden. But now all these cases are coming out every day. Just think of the ones that we don't see, the ones that go silent. But I'm going to say that it's a blessing to know that these things are taking place, and we have documentation records, and you get on your computer, you type Google and just type a name in there, and you can get the whole story. So I'm glad you're doing this series. As I said, it's a blessing in all this negative and bad news that, you know, that when someone loses their life.
I'm great. Even after stand up, breathe. Y'all have been standing up for Brother Floyd. I want to piggyback on two things you said. There are so many stories that are coming up now that have been swept under the rug. Even the one in Brunswick was swept under the rug until the guy who now is arrested slipped up and gave the video away. But that was already swept up under the rug. That was already something done away with. Nobody won't say nothing. But now there's so many tapes coming up now. People that done this. My cousin's trial is about to come back. He was shot 72 times by the police. No trial. Nobody wasn't even questioned. They didn't even question the police. The police said, we're not going to give you a statement. And then Paul Howard left it at that.
And guys, we're getting
didn't want to fight no more.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're getting some kind of feedback. We're getting a little feedback right now, and I just want to make sure that our connection
is feedback from someone.
That it's really clear so that they don't miss anything that you all have to say.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Certainly. Yeah, but there's something.
Yeah, so
I'm
those
not sure.
So many stories are coming forward. It's probably somebody's lying, probably.
Yeah.
You hear feedback?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if you guys might be on a speaker and it may be just.
I'm on speaker. Let me turn my speakerphone off. Okay.
Okay, that could possibly be it because you guys are contributing so well, and I certainly don't want our listeners to miss anything that you're saying.
Is that any better now?
Yes, sir. One thing I want people don't miss this. Joy Flo would say he went into a store and he bought something with a fake $20 bill. Anybody from the street knows that if you're trying to get off a $20 bill and you successfully do it and get the purchase of what you purchased, you don't hang around in front of the store if you knew that was counterfeit. If you know that's counterfeit because it's somebody right now, maybe listen to this call, you don't know if you got a fake $20 bill in your pocket or not. You do not know. You don't know. If you work at any kind of retail or commissary or taking tips on where he used to work at as a security guard where they probably hand you a little money in your hand, look out for you, you don't know. You ain't got no scam. So anybody who's trying to get paid the money, they get in the car, they go because they have already successfully got chained for fake money and got the product also. But he stood outside the door hanging around, which means they let you know he didn't know this money was fake. Because if he knew it was fake, he would have got in the car and rolled off with his partner to the next store, get out the rest of the fake money. He didn't leave. He stood outside the store like, what's going on? And if I get my side of the store and someone come outside the store and tell me, hey, excuse me, sir, that money you gave me, the $20 you gave me was fake, I'm going to say, no, it wasn't. I'm not going to say, oh, it is? Let me get my product. I'm going to say, no, it wasn't, because it wasn't. You took it. You put it in the cash register. I walked outside the store. You come falling behind me and say, what I gave you was fake. No, you need to check cash register. You got me mixed up. I don't have fake money. Think about it. This is look at the scenario. That's the whole scenario. He didn't leave. If you get on fake money, everybody knows this from the street. No, you have made what they call on the street the jewel. You have made it. Not as going with you. You just turn a fake 20 into $15 and I got a product. You don't stand outside the store like, you know, I don't care. They ain't got nothing. But he dies for that.
Right.
Well, we don't even know. There's no crime. He didn't get convicted. Nobody didn't say anything. Nobody. And I just want to say this. I hope this resonates with everybody. What is our Congress and everybody taking knees for? You know, I see Nancy Pelosi and everybody taking knees. What are people taking knees for? Because really, think about it. Kaepernick took a knee during the national anthem. As in the protesters say that the national anthem, what it represents, is not represented for my people. That's why he took a knee. He took a knee because he didn't want to stand for what they were saying of the flag, the land of the free. He said, no, that's not me, so I need to take a knee. But when we see everybody else taking a knee, why are you taking a knee? Because if you ask me, why are you taking, we're just taking a knee to stand in solidarity. No, you're not taking a knee to stand in solidarity. Solidarity against what? We need to ask people there, why are we taking a knee for? Honestly, truthfully, even African-American, why y'all still taking a knee? I can see you taking a knee during the time of the national anthem because you're saying this is not representation of me into my country because this is my country too, and it should be representation of what it says about me. But when we need to stand up with your fist in the air and say, no, I ain't taking no knee for nothing no more. I'm not kneeling down. I'm not sitting down. I'm not laying down for nothing no more. I'm going to look you right in your eyes and right in your face and tell you the truth. And to you, if you're a politician, if you're a mayor, you're a governor, I'm going to look you in your face. I'm going to tell you what we want, what we need. If you don't want to do, we're going to vote you out. We're going to put some of our own children in these seats, and then we're going to move forward. Yeah, I'm on. Come on, people. Put your fist in the air. Put your fist in the air. We haven't we get tired of getting on our knees? Because the only person we need to get on our knees for is God.
Amen.
No, don't rock us to sleep. We're not going back to sleep. And I agree with your brother. This movement is, it is because of social media, because of the telephone, because of it's people are marching in country where the black folk don't even live. People are marching all over in Spain and France. Black folks don't even live there. Not a large majority of us, but they're marching. They're saying enough is enough. Because one common denominator, they know, history says for fact, that this country would not be what it is today. It would not have built for, it would not have survived what it was today if it wasn't for the African Americans fighting and building and spats of the blood and the sweat of these children to not have descendants on this earth. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. And the horrific things when history begins to play itself in our history books, and they begin to see really, really, really what happened, because it's not in a history book. When they begin to see why is it when we begin to talk about the truth? Remember, if you can remember, Sister Donna, when we used to talk about what's going on between us, when racism and when someone white would pass by us, we'll lower our voice and whisper to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I know people online, we acting like them. Yes, it's people online. Same way. When we start, man, this stuff's so racist. When they walk back, we'll lower our voices. What happened? Where'd it come from? Where'd it come from? Now you see people open their voice. Where did it come from? The people, we used to lower our voice. It comes from fear. Written in our genes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That
intimidation. Literally written in our genes.
Yeah.
And you don't even know. We don't even know why we're afraid.
Right. And time is up for that. You know, I mean, really. And like you were saying, and like Anthony mentioned too, I mean, there are so many cases that are coming back. I won't say coming up because they're not new. They're coming back up. They're resurfacing because of the technology and now, I guess, the proof. And it is so unfortunate because I know as I've been watching and having conversation, I find myself getting confused because I'm thinking we're talking about one, but there's so many that I'm like, wow, I was thinking that it was this case, you know, that we heard about 2 days ago, but no, it was the case that just came to light 5 days ago. And, you know, and that's really sad. That is really sad. And it is just really time. It's time. You know, it's time. And unfortunately, I guess that we, with as far as, Pastor, what you were saying about lowering the voices, I guess because our history, we basically have been given 1 month. It's the shortest month, correct? And it does not, right, and it does not seem as though we're still, I mean, what does it really represent now at this point? Okay, sure. We've been a part of history since we've been here, correct? So why haven't we actually been a part of the teaching of the history? Okay, so that's definitely a question I would like for people to ponder on. And in case you have just joined us, you are listening to a lively discussion regarding race relations. You are certainly welcome to join the conversation. And thank you, callers, for your patience. We are going to certainly come to the phone to pick you all up again. Also, we have some emails that we will address as well. But I am going to, we're going to take a really quick break and we will be right back. It is not too late for you to join the conversation. We would love to have you call in and join us. We will be right back in just a moment. Please don't go away. We ask that you certainly do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Have you purchased the book, Raising Boys from Birth
to Toddlerhood,
by Dr. Tia Croons? Raising Boys is a comical yet insightful work that highlights the joys and challenges of raising boys from a mom's perspective. Whether you're raising boys for the first time or you're experienced, you will find this book to be a valuable resource. And most importantly, whether you're a mom, grandparent, or godparent, you will be able to glean from the advice given. You will really be encouraged by reading this book. In fact, think of it as a written support group from moms to moms. Raising Boys. Purchase your book today. Go to www.drtiacrooms.com. That's www.drtiacrooms.com. Raising Boys from birth
to toddlerhood.
According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP, demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years. Welcome to Shamar Consultants, LLC, and thank you for taking the time to visit our site. Did you know that having a professional website can help you increase sales? So now ask yourself this question: can I afford not to have a professional website? By combining the creativity of our designers with the precision of consultants, we develop custom solutions that achieve results and expose you to thousands of new clients. Shamar Consultants is committed to developing successful business solutions. We believe a great custom website should provide a great online and user experience, improve your professional image, keep your audience informed, increase your business inquiries and revenue, allow your client to easily access your product information, and work proficiently. Whether you need a small personal website or a big corporate portal, Shamar Consultants will provide you with an innovative Web 2.0 solution. We are always prepared for any non-standard request and ready to come up with a possible solution. ShamarConsultants.com. www.shamarconsultants.com. www.shamarconsultants.com. This commercial is produced by... Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on MissDonnaSpeaks.com. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' minds when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, MissDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Miss Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com. www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Miss Donna's voice.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we are having a pretty in-depth conversation surrounding race relations, and you can certainly get in on the conversation if you'd like. We are talking to Pastor Akeem Woodard, and we were speaking with Anthony. I wasn't sure if he had any additional comments. I'll certainly hold him over just in case he does. Certainly, we'll want you all to, you can call in and join us as well. You're going to go to, I will identify your line by the last four digits, 3504, extension 3504. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Doing okay. We're doing okay. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. We're just checking to see if you all wanted to join the conversation or are you listening, just whatever. We'll be just fine.
We have enjoyed listening to the conversation we've heard. So the others, they have different ideas about things we would like to hear. We are enjoying them.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Butler. Hey, Butler.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. We certainly do appreciate that. All right, and we're going to go to extension 8563. 8563, hello. Hello, 8563. Okay. Also, we have extension 1007, 1007. Hello, extension 1007. Okay, all right. So they could possibly be waiting or listening, which is perfectly fine. Let me go ahead and address a couple emails here. It says, Ms. Donna, I am so tired of hearing all the negative reports about racism that it has been making me sick. I try not to watch too much news, but want to know what's going on. I hope Pastor Akeem can give a spiritual take on this matter. Thank you for the variety of topics on your show. This comes from Maria in New York. Maria, thank you so much for that.
Yes.
And so
one of the spiritual side of this is showing something about the African American. It is really showing something about this spirit that God has put in us. Cornette West made a statement. He said, if we had created a black Ku Klux Klan in retaliation to that Ku Klux Klan, people would have been killed. He said, but we didn't do that. A man goes into a church and shoots up half of the people in the church, and what did the congregation do? They said, we forgive you. Nelson Mandela get locked away for nothing. What did he do? He go up and say, I'm not coming out here to put y'all back where we was at. The Floyd family, what did they do in the funeral? What did they say? We here for love of God, the love, and for justice. As Christians, as those who believe, and it may seem a lot when the people are saying the racism. See, people are saying it now, but it's always been in the atmosphere. And I know, Donna, you're going to attest to speak toward this because you speak a lot of etiquette about raising young men and raising young girls. We're not asking for handouts. I'm not asking for you to increase the food stamps. I'm not asking for you to increase the housing. All I'm saying is, and I think this is what most people, not all of us are saying, African Americans are saying right now, in this time right now, because God is saying, I need you to speak up, my children. I know it's difficult. I know it's kind of hard, but you need to speak up because I'm going to do something with you. Because I'm going to use you to show a nation, show a world what it means to have a spirit of love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you what it means. Even though we're seeing about racism, you're seeing in the streets blacks and whites marching together. You don't see the black folks turn around to the white people and say, get out of our line. You shouldn't be marching with us. You just like the rest of them. No, they're holding hands. They're saying this should end. Enough is enough. Asking for, think about this, son. I can probably speak to this. It's for my son. I have two sons. All we're saying is give us this playing field that is equal to the playing field of your son. I don't want to hand out. I don't want to advance my son to the front of the line. No, I want to say if my son is in the race with your child, then let us have the playing field. My son should not have to swim through the waters, jump through fire, spin around 10 times, get to the finish line, and find out the finish line been sent 2 miles down the road. When the children of a European, white brother, sister, they have a straight line. They know right to the finish line, straight to the finish line, based upon color, not based upon skills, not based upon knowledge. Our children we're not inferior. Our children are just as smart, just as bright, just as polite, just as kind. But they're put in a playing field that dictates their destination. You say, well, we got some rich people. Yeah, we got some. But they're put in a playing field that dictates where they go.
Absolutely. And to add to that, we're talking about racial equality is what this is about, equality, equal. And, you know, I say quite a bit, even to some of my white parents, they will never have the same conversation. White mothers will never have the same conversation that I have with my son. They will never have that conversation with their son. You know, what happens? You know, you almost have to role play. What happens if you get stopped by the police? What you should do, what you should not do. You have to really be really, really careful. And this started early on. And I can remember even my son, he was on break here from.
Donna, your phone's breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. You couldn't hear you. It's going in and out. It was going in and out.
Wow, I don't know what's going on. I know we had a real bad storm, so I don't know. But yeah, so we'll never have the same kind of conversations and try to role play, if you will, about what happens. I remember when he, I think it was his freshman year in college, when he came home on one of the breaks, it may have been spring break or something, I don't recall. But I can remember that he was pulled over. He had just pumped gas and pulled out of the gas station. And he was pulled over, and the officer said to him that he was driving with his lights off. And he explained to him he just, you know, and I'm sure the officer saw him as he pulled out of the gas station. He was just pulling out, but you know, he gave him a ticket regardless. But in that same area, I was pulled over too. When I remember my car was in the shop. I had a rental car. I was pulled over, and he, you know, he was very arrogant. Police was very arrogant. And he said, whose car is this? And I'm thinking, okay, there's a tag on the back that says it's a rental vehicle. But those are the kinds of things, you know, we're talking about. And I have a list of ways I've been discriminated against. But, of course, since I'm the host, I try to use good manners and let other people just share their experience.
Right now we're having from Microsoft to Coca-Cola that are now saying they're redirecting their hiring. It's 2020. Mm-hmm. They're just now saying if this has never happened, they would have never changed their hiring practices. We have so many African Americans working in the factories and on the warehouses, but very few sit at the table to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Very few. Mm-hmm. Very few. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're not qualified. It's just the doors will never open. And nobody wanted to open them. Everybody was okay with it. We haven't been breathing. We've just been existing.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been being tolerated. But now people are saying change the history books. I want my child to go to school and open a history book and see that he was born from kings and queens in Egypt, that he was made for Inhotep and science and mathematics. I want to see my child realize that the pyramids were built by the hands of his ancestors, not for somebody else that he's looking at himself. I want my son to know when he opened the Bible that he reads of Genesis with the Euphrates River flowed through it, with the land of the Euphrates near Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to look on the wall. I don't want to paint everybody black. That's racism too. I don't want God to be black, angels to be black, Jesus to be black, everybody's black. I don't want to paint that. That's still racism on our part.
Exactly.
But you paint them all white, it's racism on that part.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all white.
Exactly. And in fact, and callers, we thank you so much. We're on the way to pick you up. Thank you so much for your patience. I did want to mention that since you were just kind of piggyback off what you just said. And the thing about it is, you know, ignoring or avoiding it doesn't change. I was speaking with a couple of youth, and they have a white, young white minister And they were talking about racism, and this was probably beginning of this year, and they shared with me that what was quoted to them is, well, if you don't talk about it, you don't have to worry about it. Now, I had a real issue with that, but I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm going to go ahead and start picking up some of the callers. Extension 8395, 8395, thank you so much for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We're having a pretty in-depth conversation here with Pastor
yes.
Keene and others regarding race relations, and we would love to hear what you have to say as well.
Yes, I've been enjoying the conversation this evening. It's really, really good and needed. But I would like to share something I experienced earlier this week in my job. I was sitting out at lunchtime like I normally do in this outdoor pavilion area, along with other black, white, just like five of us. And during the lunchtime while we were sitting there, this gentleman, employee, he has a speaker on. He's talking back and forth with his girlfriend or wife. Just there, the conversation, you can hear everything. What he says, she said, the whole conversation, you can hear it, which I'm so annoyed by every day. But anyway, on Wednesday, they was talking about the malls being opening up. And she said to him, yeah, I saw that online, all the malls are opening up, but I saw there was only one person at the mall that had on a mask. And it was a black A nigger. And I was like, wow. Did she just say that? And he just continued on with the conversation, and me and the other people just got up and left and went. Because I was, at that point, I wasn't hungry anymore. And I reported to HR. Because in my company, they do not allow or do not accept direct or indirect racist statements. A derogatory statement, and that gentleman was spoken to about that, because I was very upset. I couldn't even just get back to work like the way I should, because it just kept being in my mind, kept going back and forth. Should I talk to HR about it? Yeah, that was horrible, because it's like she just said, hello, how are you, how's your day? It's like it just rolled out of her mouth like it was everyday thing that she say. So
and
I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that sounds like, obviously, that's just natural conversation.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I just
want. Pastor,
so Donna, so many people, that's one thing we're going to realize. There are going to be some people whose hearts will convict themselves and they'll change. But there are going to be some people. I don't care if the sky was red. You say, look at this guy, it's red. It's not still blue.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to change.
No.
They're not going to change. I don't care what happens, what most legislators come forward, what rules and laws come forward, if people begin to move, if history books begin to put into our children's curriculum, there will be some people who will take it to their grave and to say, I don't see them as half as human as I am.
Right.
I don't see them as human as I am. And that's why people are so affected right now. They seen the murder, but they also saw the face of the murderer, and he had no inkling of his mind that he was killing a human being. If he had his neck a dog like that, there would be more people in an uproar than it is now. There would be no dissension. Everybody would be mad. It wouldn't be no the whites and some whites saying, I'm going to wait to see what's going on. They would be mad. How you know?
Yeah.
Look at Michael Vick. He didn't even, look at Michael Vick. Look what it did to Michael Vick for a dog. For a dog, he didn't even kill it. He was just fighting him. Look what it did to him. So this man had a knee on a dog that he'd have been arrested on the spot for cruelty to the animals. For cruelty to him. His job would have been demanded. He wouldn't have had to be waiting. He would have been arrested. He would have been ostracized. It would have been in the internet, pushed out, everything. but he had a nick on a human being in his eyesight. He don't see what I'm doing to this human being because I don't see him as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him because if he saw him as a human being, it would connect with your humanness of yourself. So there will be people, sister, who will take it to their grave, and they'll never see you or me or Donna or who else, my child, as equal to their child. There's legislation on the House Senate floor in our history of people saying they're not smarter. They need help. They need our help. They need our handouts because it's not as educated as we are. Yeah. Yeah, that's those statements that have been said on the Senate floor. And I'm not talking about just by Republicans. So yes, let's get this straight, African Americans. Let's just get this straight now. Both sides have dirt on their shoes. Both sides have blood of African Americans and the dissension of racism on their shoes, both of them. There's nobody walking out of that the White House, nobody walking out of that Senate with clean shoes on. So we cannot let people walk around with their clean shoes on like, oh, it wasn't our party. We didn't have nothing. We just, no, you didn't. No, you didn't, because Georgia was Democrat at one time. And it was slavery. Come on, history books. The slave owners. Come on. You're not digressing on that. That's another topic. That's another topic. Right now, we as a people not saying we don't see affiliation. We see what you're going to do as a person. What you going to do? What you going to do? What you say you're going to do? We're going to hold you to that. Because you're not going to separate us with different parties. I'm with this party and I'm with that party. No, you're going to separate us like that. What are you going to do and how are you going to get it done? And when will you get it done? Because you only have limited time. Because once you start acting the wrong way and lying to us, don't worry. Don't worry. It'd be difficult for you to do anything, and it'd be you and no, you're on your way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I always say racism and prejudice, that is most certainly a heart issue. That's a heart issue.
Absolutely.
H-E-A-R-T. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for sharing that comment. We certainly do appreciate you calling and sharing that. But, you know,
yes.
And I'm sure a lot of people are probably echoing that in so many different arenas that it is happening in. And it is so unfortunate. But, you know, the Lord loves the truth. So that's what we're trying to reveal. We're going to pick up another caller, extension 0670, extension 0670. Hello.
Hello, Donna. Pastor
Hi
Ian.
There.
Hey, Pastor Ian. History. Give us some history.
And hello to Pastor Akeem.
How are you doing, Pastor Akeem? Hello.
Pastor Williams.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the program and the comments that have come in, and especially from the first gentleman who brought in the fact about the difference in technology and what that does for us nowadays. And I certainly can speak to that because I can remember back in 1956 when Emmett Till was killed down, was basically lynched in Mississippi because he came into a store and made some advances. He is alleged to have made some advances to a white woman, and he was killed. It got a little bit of press, but certainly nothing on the order of what the recent case has done. And again, by virtue of the fact that there is technology now, really nothing that happens out in the public domain will go unnoticed. And there is certainly a blessing in that because it has certainly awakened the conscience or the awareness, awareness or the conscience of people to realize these things do happen. They're not being imagined. They're not made up. But there is a reality of brutality towards black people, and hopefully it will produce a change in attitude, or again, I say more, it will create an awareness that this issue has to be dealt with, and that is the positive that can come out of it. It was certainly a dastardly event, but hopefully good will come out of it in terms of making the awareness of these situations known, not just in the United States, but as the Pastor Akeem has said, all over the world. And that should go, or should help to bring about, not allow these events to go unnoticed or to go unpunished. So,
Pastor Williams,
that certainly
I want to ask
is
you
an
a
issue.
Question. I want to ask you a question. Maybe you can give us some wisdom on this. Well, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you can give us some wisdom on this.
Yeah.
Cell phones has been around since the 90s. And a lot of these events have been recorded, have been put on Facebook. Some of these cases have been showed. Not as much as this. What make it? What can you let us know that what's so different about this one? What's so different about this one? Because people have seen these cases. People have been speaking about brutality. People have been saying these cops are killing them. People have been saying the hiring process is not right. The housing process is not right. The job process, we've been saying it. What makes this one so different from what has changed? What do you think has changed?
Well, I would say one of the factors is that it is built up on it follows the civil rights movement. It follows other efforts to improve conditions for African Americans or people of color in the United States. And I would say the very fact that this was so flagrant, you could not imagine. Well, how many people have seen someone killed on television? You know, you hear reports of it, you read about it, but how many actually seeing it happen? And I think the very fact that people watch that murder take place in front of their very eyes did something to their conscience that has not occurred before. So I remember the first time I saw it, I don't know if it was the actual footage or a replay, but just to see the face of that policeman while he was kneeling on George's neck just seemed unreal. How could a person, as you said earlier, how could a human being do that to another human being and not have any remorse about it whatsoever? And I think people watching his expression on his face realized that here is injustice in the nth degree, one of the most flagrant examples of injustice taking place right before our eyes. And I think that is one of the reasons why it has received the attention that it has. But I would also like to say this. We all have heard about Ravi Zacharias, and who just died recently. But in proving, in an effort to argue about the existence and the reality of Christianity and Christ, he made this statement. He says, if the scourge of racism is ever to die, it will only do so on the biblical basis of who we are as human beings, as we learn to respect each person in his or her distinctive and essential splendor created by the virtue of creation. He's strong view that, and it's already been said on the program, there has to be a change in the heart in order for there to be a change in attitudes toward people. And that can only come through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. period.
I'm with you on that, brother.
So
I'm with you on that.
Donna, continue on. Thank you for allowing people to engage this topic. And again, I think it is helpful for people to hear, discuss, and to process. And also, it's important that they hear the spiritual issue or hear the manner in which this issue has a spiritual component. If there is to be a change, that change has to come within a person's heart. And only a real, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ can make that happen.
Yeah, and always so good to hear you. And I know there's something in the background. I don't know if it sounds like a owl or a chicken or I don't know. I'm not sure what we were picking up, but it was kind of a cool little sound effect. I'm not sure what it was. Professor Akeem, you know?
Yeah, yeah. One of the things Pastor Manuel just leaving, he said, a true, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Authentic relationship. Because a lot of times we have been fed an unauthentic relationship. We've been taught somewhat of an unauthentic relationship because how we see God, how we see Jesus, do we see him as he is? Or do we see what people has taught us that he is? You know, because think about it now. I think sometimes it may almost be like two types of Jesus. it's a Jesus that some people say is loving and is kindness, and then it doesn't, you don't reflect, you don't see yourself in him. You know, I need to see myself in him as he sees himself in me. That's that authentic relationship. Not that thing that authentic relationship, not something that's been fed to you in such a way that you don't really see yourself in Jesus. And I always go back to this, and I always say this, you know, if you paint everything one color and then you sit the children down and say, now this is your God, this who died for you, this who sacrificed for you, this who's done everything for you, and this is you worship. But you put a color on him that looks like someone other than you, has no color at all, white, and say, this is him. And then you look at the very people that are oppressing, you say, well, they're the same. They're the same. You know, people say, oh, it's not my color. No. That's no. Do I say paint him black? No. I'm not saying paint him black. All I'm saying is teach him in the sense that you see yourself in him. I see myself in it. The Asian can see himself in it. The Jew can see. You can see yourself in Jesus. Not the color. Not just the color. Don't paint my books like this. Don't paint me books like this. Don't paint the pictures like this. Don't stop that. So we can have a true, authentic relationship with Christ. Freedom. And that's what he wants, freedom. For us, God wants freedom for us. Freedom. He don't want us to be slaves. He don't want us to be slaves. He don't want us to be slaves other than to him. And slaves to him is freedom for everyone. I want to be free.
Thank you all are just joining us. This is What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is part of our Be Encouraged series. We are discussing race relations, and you can certainly still get in on the conversation at 516-418-5894. We're having a very authentic and transparent conversation, and we certainly welcome. I'm going to read this message here. It says, hello, Miss Donna. I did not wish to call your show because I would like to remain anonymous. I am a new physician working at a clinic, which I won't mention the name. I am the only African-American there, or more. On more than one occasion, I have overheard coworkers talking negatively about blacks. but don't feel I can say anything. My wife wants me to complain about it, but I prayed, and I'm not sure what to do since I am new there. Any advice from your pastor? And this is anonymous. Oh, a new physician.
You kept going out, so I didn't hear the question. What she say? I didn't hear the question.
Oh, what they're saying is he doesn't wish to be anonymous. I am a new physician working at a clinic, which I won't mention the name. I am the only African-American there. On more than one occasion, I have overheard coworkers talking negatively about black, but don't feel I can say anything. My wife wants me to complain about it, but I've prayed and I'm not sure what to do since I am new there. Any advice from your pastor? And this is anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you pray? I would just say, I would like, oh, can you hear me, Donna?
Uh-huh, I can now.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I would just say that when I was in the Army, one time a superior officer came in the office and made a derogatory remark about race. And as he said it, my mind was going around like a whirlwind. I'm saying, okay, what do I do? Or do I let this pass? Or do I risk my career? Do I risk, because I worked for this individual. I said, do I risk endangering my relationship with him by saying something? I finally, so as soon as he walked out of the office, I got up and walked into his office. And I said, I don't appreciate what you said a few minutes ago. And he said, well, what did I say? And I repeated it to him. And he tried to give an off-the-wall excuse for saying, oh, this is just a saying. It didn't mean anything. I said, well, it meant something to me, and that's the important thing. Now, I just say this to respond to that question that you just got about the physician and saying, this is where you have to bite the bullet. This is where you have to realize that if you don't say something, then it will just continue. People will feel that they can do those things, say those things, and get away with it. And so there's a way to do it. I mean, that doesn't mean you go in and hollering and yelling, but no, you go let the head of the clinic know that this happened, that you don't appreciate it, and that something should be done to correct the situation so that it's not swept under the rug or that nobody knows about it. So there are times when we have to risk our standing or risk our job or risk our being humiliated. We need to let people know that if they say something or act in a way that is disrespectful to African Americans, it needs to be made known. It needs to be reported. It needs to be addressed. So that would be my answer.
Absolutely. I agree. In fact, and I always say on this show that it's not necessarily what you say, but it is how you say it. But absolutely, it does need to be addressed. Absolutely. Yes. I want to ask, have both pastors on. What I would like to ask, I'm noticing a lot of conversations in the media between black and white pastors and black pastors explaining to white pastors what all of this is about, all of this meaning, since we're hearing so much about racial injustice and so on and so forth. And so for those that seem not to know and understand what's going on, you know, I can appreciate some of the conversations that I've had, that I've heard, and especially some of the conversations have been with white pastors who basically their congregation is predominantly a congregation of color. And so this, of course, most definitely should be had, this conversation. So I just wanted to kind of get you your take, over your take on some of these conversations that you may have heard. There have been several on, you know, in the media, TBN and so on and so forth. And what is your take on that? Because it most certainly does need to be addressed. And, you know, you can't, again, act like it's, if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. And so that's a real problem, because just not talking about it doesn't mean it's going to automatically poof and disappear like Casper. So I'm interested in you all's take on that.
Well, I will share with you this. My son is a TV anchor in Virginia, and he attends a church that is integrated but is still majority white. And 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, his pastor got up and said, I was going to preach this sermon, but I feel, know that we need to take time to address this issue that is ongoing. And so he had a panel. He had his assistant pastor, who is a person of color, who's an African-American, himself, and then my son, who was the facilitator of the panel. And they discussed this issue of racial injustice from a church standpoint. How should the church respond in the midst of this? And so my answer, my comment is that, yes, it needs to be addressed in the churches today. If you watched in the papers or listened on television, there were many churches that left their normal or their scheduled programs or sermons in the last 2 weeks and have taken to raising this issue and presenting it from a spiritual or theological perspective. And as the leaders of a congregation, I believe that it is inherent. It is an inherent responsibility for pastors to address these matters.
Absolutely. And so, you know, time is out to act like there's no issue there, you know, because we can all see at this point that it's an issue. And as Pastor King, as you alluded to earlier, this is something that's been going, it didn't just start. It did not just start. It's been going on for years and years. And so, yeah, I appreciate that response, because I think it is a necessary conversation to be had and a necessary heartfelt conversation, not just to have the conversation.
Yeah, it has to be a heart check. Not a, because a lot of people, they're going to talk about it and feel good, but when you find a large majority of the white pastors realizing that they have really looked over that. Even
mm-hmm.
though they have mixed congregations, they have literally
right.
looked over the plight of the very people who sitting in front of them, giving their tithes and coming and supporting. They really looked mm-hmm. over the fact of the systemic racism that they go through every day.
Mm-hmm.
As if it didn't matter. If it, and
right.
then some of them are finding out that it's some in them that they didn't even see. A statement
oh,
that
absolutely.
They may make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've
mm-hmm.
been in statements of people... called Christmas babies. You know, these babies.
Yeah.
Babies.
Yeah,
you know, you only babies. You children. You know, because the only thing I know a children, the only thing I know a baby needing in Christ is a nipple in his mouth. I mean, he needs to be burped and he needs to be everything else. He can't walk on his own, can't talk on his own, can't feed on his own, can't do nothing on his own. So, my thing is, you have to see people as God sees us. And then it's got to be a heart check. It got to be a heart check. And I think one, and I like what Stephen Furtick did, and when he sat back with one of the pastors, he said, you know, I had to check my own heart to realize that my worship leader goes home. But he goes home one way thinking, but I go home another way thinking. He
right.
goes home thinking that I hope I don't get pulled over.
Right.
And if I do get pulled over, I need to get right. He goes home, he don't say that. He don't think that. He don't even think that in his mind. He don't even address that. They don't go home, and so you have a lot of white pastors realize that, hold on a minute, we screaming Jesus love, we know who Jesus loves, he loves, but who we love, and how have
mm-hmm.
we loved, how have we really loved,
heart check.
Exactly.
And I agree with Pastor Manuel. It's a heart check. You have to be say, I don't know. I don't know everything. And the stuff I don't like when the pastor try to play like, yeah, you know, I've been for the black folks. And, you know, hold on a minute, man. Be quiet. Sit down for a minute. Just sit down for a minute and listen.
Right.
But don't try to make it like you okay. You don't. Okay. You done some black, some good thing for black people. But sometimes
right.
just take a point to sit down. A lot of the right pastors in these meetings and seminars, like they're sitting and they're listening, and they're taking it in. They're still not trying to tell them. Now this is what we going. Now let me take this in for a minute, because half of the congregation, the people don't. My family, you know, and I think I'm leaving. I stay with this, and I had a discussion with. Friend of mine, pastor, white friend of mine, has daughters, and he was saying, I don't agree to racism, and I don't understand this, I don't see what's going on. And that's why I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you have daughters. He said, yeah. I said, do you have one fair-skinned doll in your house? Just one amongst your three daughters. Do you have just one, even though they look at and see color all over the world, and they have friends, but do they have one doll? One doll. Because a lot of African Americans got, they got white dogs, they got black dogs, they don't, they got all kinds of different kinds of dogs. So you have one in your whole house. He said, no. So I said, why? Is it because they're not pretty? They're not pretty. You want to raise them to represent the world and understand that they're not themselves by themselves. Buy them another dog. Say, this dog is just as pretty as this dog.
Right. Right,
like,
actually,
like friend.
Yeah,
he looks like his friend. So he realized there was something in him.
So we just really, you know, we really have to be conscious of what we're thinking about. You know, do we really think about what we're thinking about? And and then as we get ready to conclude, I thank you all so much for joining us this evening. I'm sure this won't be the only episode regarding this topic. I'm sure it won't be. I'm hoping and praying that you all have heard something that has either inspired you, that has freed you, that has encouraged you. There is still a lot of work to be done. And as Pastor Akeem just kind of mentioned about listening, I've always heard that the reason that we have two ears and one mouth is because so we can listen more than we speak, and that we can certainly listen before we speak. So that is very, very important. And I thank, you know, everyone that, you know, sends messages, that calls us. We certainly do appreciate that as well. I do want to, Pastor Kim, give you the common courtesy of allowing you, if there's anything that you would like to leave the listeners with, would certainly appreciate that. I didn't know if you pretty much covered everything. Well, I know we haven't covered everything because there's so much to cover, but in this particular episode, if you would like to leave our listeners with anything.
You talking to me, Pastor, Ms. Donna? Are you talking to Pastor Manuel?
Yeah, Pastor Akeem. Pastor Akeem,
I didn't
hear
you. Say talking to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
I just want everybody with words that they continue to stay encouraged that this world is changing, and that God's children that have been asleep for so many years have been shooken awake, and I don't think anybody's going to put us back to sleep ever again. I don't think anybody's going to put us back to sleep ever again. And once we begin to push for justice and some things go out, we got to also turn back around and look at our neighborhood, look at our churches, support each other, love each other, and get our hearts right. And know that God sees us all. He created you, all of your colors and the great hues, and he's bestowed something mighty in all of us. Hold on to that. And let nobody take it away from you.
Yes, absolutely. I certainly do agree with that. He said the Lord looks at the heart. And so that's what is being examined right now. So when you look in the mirror, also look in the mirror closely to look at your heart as well. And Pastor Williams, I think you're still there too. Are you?
I'm still here.
Okay, and if you would like to, you know, take a minute or so, if there's anything on your mind, I would love to have you leave our listeners with something as well, because you always have a lot of wisdom.
Well, my closing comment is that it's important that we recognize that racism is a sin. That's the only way it can be classified, because it's contrary to God's plan for interpersonal relationships. The scripture is very clear. Apostle Paul said, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. And then he goes on to say, there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. So, beginning with the church, if we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, then it is inherent upon us to take up the challenge of demonstrating that in our own interpersonal relationships and the values that we have with respect to people. And therefore, Christians should be in the lead of promoting racial equality and justice here within our country.
Yes, thank you so much for that. And everyone, once again, please feel free to go back and listen to this episode in its entirety, as they are all archived. So you'll certainly want to go back and listen to it in its entirety. And please share it with your friends as well. And I certainly want to thank again Pastor Keem, Pastor Williams, those of you who have called in, those of you that are listening. I'm sure that, again, we will have future episodes surrounding this topic, okay? Also, we appreciate you for always supporting the show, listening. If there is a topic that you would like to hear us discuss, please let me know, and I'll do the best that I possibly can in getting that show on. We certainly do appreciate those of you when you suggestions as well. Remember the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. That comes from Matthew 7 and 12. And let me just repeat that one again. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Okay, we appreciate if you would continue to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. No, we can only do that one person at a time, and certainly with your help as well. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That's one of my favorite proverbs. It comes from Proverbs 3:3. Okay, and again, stay safe, be encouraged, and treat others the way you want to be treated. We'll talk again next time. We'll have some follow-up to this particular episode. All right, so good night, take care, and God bless.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged. You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.